Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, if I was going to take any advice and I could get it from Jesus, He's the one I'd want it from. And this is so full of great direction, great counsel. But Jesus tells us, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of men. And that's so important to understand that last part. Because ministry doesn't always take place secretly. You know, there are things that we do and we involve other people, or it has to be done in such a public way that it's not private. You know, sometimes we're able to minister privately. Sometimes we're able to serve privately. But sometimes what we do takes place in front of people. He's not telling us don't do it if there's people around. So we still need to minister even if there's a crowd, even if there are others that are going to see it. We still need to do it. Ministry is the right thing. But that last part, don't do it to be seen of others. We're not supposed to go about attracting attention. Hey, look what I'm about to do over here. You know, but involving other people, you know, if you need help, get help. If you need people to pray about it, get people to pray about it. It can't always be done in a corner. But we don't do it for the benefit of the applause and the praise of others. We don't do it so that people will clap for us or so that they'll think more highly of us. And so sometimes it has to be done when others are present. The point is not to do it to be seen. Verse 2, he says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Don't attract attention, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They wanted the praise of people, and they got it. And that's it. It's done. They weren't doing it for God. They weren't doing it to please God. They weren't doing it to serve God. They weren't doing it to help that person. They were doing it so people would see them. Jesus said, there's no benefit to that. There's no reward of that. Because all they were doing was trying to get attention. And, you know, I know that sometimes we wonder, you know, what our brothers and sisters in the church are doing in ministry. Well, let me say this. If you'll be busy in ministry, you won't worry about what other people in ministry are doing. If you'll just stay busy enough taking care of other people and serving God through other people, then you won't have time to wonder what anybody else is doing in their service to God. We ought to all be busy serving God. We ought to all be busy serving others, serving God through serving others. But not to draw attention. Verse 4, thine alms may be seen in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Who do we want our reward from? God, the Father. We don't need the applause of others. We don't need the praise of others. We don't need the blessings of others. We need the blessings of God. God will use others to bless us. But we want it directed from God's heart, not from our efforts to please people, to impress people. That's not what it's about. Verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I believe this is true about preaching too, don't you? You don't have to preach a long time to impress God. You sure don't have to preach a long time to impress people. In fact, the longer you preach, the less impressed they get. I just try to preach long enough to keep you from falling asleep completely. Right, you start dozing. I say, well, we must be close. Must be near the end. No, but he says, our prayers are not, they're not poems. It's not poetry. It's not a song. We're not trying to say a whole lot. That's not going to impress God. You know, he says, just talk to God. Just talk to him. Speak to him as Abraham did, as a friend face to face, as Moses did, as a friend face to face. That's how we talk to God. We just are honest with God. We just talk to him. He goes on, he says in verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. I'm so glad He knows what I need, but I'm still going to ask. And we're directed to ask. But we don't have to lay out a case. All right? It's not a hearing. It's not court. We don't have to have evidence and examples and charts and all that kind of stuff. Just tell God what you need. Just talk to Him. And when you ask God, ask big. Ask God for what you want, what you need. I remember a pastor's wife is a TV preacher, and she said that she prayed about her teeth and she woke up with silver fillings. Silver fillings in her teeth. And I thought, well, if I was going to pray, I'd pray the teeth were whole. I don't want fillings if I can avoid that. Right? And that's true. That's a true story. True that she said it. I don't know what really happened, but that's what she said. But when we pray, we're not praying that God will give us fillings. We're praying that God will heal our teeth. No, I'm asking big. I'm asking all the way. You know why? Because God can do it. God can do anything He wants to. He has the power to do it. But we need to understand there's a plan in place. And so we're surrendered. We're trusting in God's plan, whatever that is. We put our confidence in Him. When we pray, talk to God. He knows our needs. The question is, do we agree with God about what our needs are? Because sometimes what we think we need and what God knows we need are two different things. The things that we think we need may destroy us. But what God knows we need is going to bless us. And so we look to God knowing that He knows what we need, and we talk to Him. And then He gives us a model. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And so we know who we're talking to, right? We're talking to God. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so we're surrendering. God, we want Your will to be done. We want You to have as much control and as much influence here as You do there, where things are perfect. Heaven's perfect. Isn't that great to know? Heaven's perfect. Everybody does exactly what God wants them to do in heaven. There are no laws broken in heaven. Everything's wonderful. And you say, well, that's some kind of way God makes us do what He wants us to do. No, because when we get to heaven, we're not selfish anymore. When we get to heaven, we're not sinful anymore. So whatever we do in heaven is perfectly in God's will, because that sinful nature is going to be left behind. I'm glad they're going to bury my sinful nature. I'm glad they're going to bury everything that conflicts with the Holy Spirit that's in me and the righteousness and holiness that's in me through Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. We are living this day. I can't relive yesterday. I can't forelive tomorrow. I can only live today. And so no matter what we're talking about, my concern needs to be about now. Yes, we have plans. Yes, we are prepared. But I can only live right now. If I live in the regret of yesterday, does it help me? If I live in the worry about the future, does that help me? I can only live right now. How many people, I wonder, had plans for tomorrow when they didn't have a tomorrow? But we can't go back and live yesterday. I can only live this breath right now. And we need to adopt that mentality, that attitude. Yes, have plans. Yes, buy insurance. Yes, have a will. Yes, go ahead and buy the grave plot. Make all those preparations. Be ready for it. But we can only live right now. Lots of people make plans about what we're going to do when we retire. Better have some fun now. Because after you retire, you might not be able to do those things anymore. And so make the plans now. Live now. So he says in verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many of you would like to have the same forgiveness extended to you that you extend to others? Now, don't raise your hand or nod your head on this one. How many of you can hold a grudge? Here's the thing. You said you wanted the same forgiveness that you extend. That means that you expect others to hold a grudge against you and hold the past against you. I don't want anybody holding my past against me. I've got to be willing to forgive. I've got to be willing to let it go. And I won't tell the story again. I tell it too often, I think. But there are people who are mad at you and you don't even know they're mad. And so it's not affecting you at all. And there are people that you're mad at and they don't care. They don't even know you're mad. They don't know why you would be mad. They can't imagine that you would be mad at them. So your being mad is accomplishing nothing but eating your soul and killing your joy and probably shortening your time on earth, because worry will kill you. Let it go. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you probably loaned somebody money and they forgot that they even owe it to you. If you loan me money and I forgot, let me know. I'll give it to you right now. But people forget about debts like that. People forget they owe you money. Some forget real quickly. He says, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me just, while we're there, let's just say it. Don't loan people money. If you can afford to give it to them, but don't loan it to them. Because if you loan it to them, you'll hold it over their head, and they'll be slow to pay it back probably. And you'll be mad. If you can afford to give it to them, give it to them. And if you can't afford to give it to them, just say, no, I can't. That's it. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. I don't even want to be around temptation, do you? I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to be conflicted. I don't want to have to make the decision. I just want to live right. Just want to live holy. Just want to do God's will. And so he says, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many say, I don't go looking for temptation, but sometimes temptation finds me. And we think of temptation, but I was saying earlier, you know, I don't want to be confrontational, but sometimes you have to be. Sometimes it finds me. Sometimes you're not looking for trouble, but trouble finds you. And then what are you going to do? Don't run from it. Deal with it. Deal with it early. Deal with it quickly. Like eating the frog. Y'all remember that illustration? Eat the frog. How many of you never heard that illustration before? Just one person wants to hear the story, I guess. But just imagine you had a frog sitting on your desk, and at some point during that day, you got to eat that frog. You're going to sit there all day and look at that frog, worrying about what it's going to taste like. But if you'll go ahead and eat it and be done with it, it'll be over. You won't have a frog sitting on your desk all day. It's a terrible idea, isn't it? But guys, that's how sin is. That's how conflict is. We don't want to deal with conflict, but it's like a frog sitting on our desk. And you say, I need to talk about it. I need to deal with them. I need to go to them, and we need to get this settled. But we sit there and worry about it all day like a frog sitting on our desk. Let me give you a tip. Go deal with it now. Get it over with. Well, they're going to get mad. They're going to get mad sooner or later, but right now it's killing you. Let's deal with it. One time I was in a part-time position looking for a full-time position. The boss and I had agreed that I'd get that full-time position. And the meeting had been held and the decision had been made. And 8 o'clock that morning, he came walking into the office with his head, you know, he wouldn't look at me. I knew it was something that happened. And so, you know, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. And finally I said, hey, boss. Let's go ahead and get over with. Let's not do this all. I don't want to dance all day. They just come out with it and tell me what happened. Well, you know, they told me I could do this. And so it won't work out the way we had it planned. I said, fine. That's fine. But let's just get it over with. Let's not dance all day and me avoiding you and you avoiding me. Because that's no way to live. Whether that's your spouse or your children or your parents or your neighbor or your boss or your employee or the pastor or whoever it is, just deal with it. Let's stop killing ourselves with worry and avoiding things. He says, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Oh, God, do we trust God? Is God God in our lives? Is He the top in our lives, or is He an option? He's God. We better stop playing with God like He's an option. We better stop dating God like maybe this relationship's not going to work out. You might as well make the decision. Might as well go all in with God. He says in verse 15, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't want God holding anything against me. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the picture that Jesus is painting for us here, the whole way through this scripture, is we better be thinking about there and not just here. We're so busy trying to amass a fortune here and build great things here, but what about there? Are we vested? Are we invested in eternity? Do we have loved ones that are going to be there because we reached out to them? Neighbors and friends because we reached out to them? Because they saw the way we were living and they said, I want what he's got. I want what she's got. I want to have the peace that passes understanding, that it is well with my soul. And I see your life and I see that, you know, things happen. You're human, but you still have your faith and you still have your hope. And you still have your joy. Doesn't mean you never cry, but you still have your joy and your peace. Because you're connected with someone greater, with something greater. We're to be an example. We're to be a Bible to them. Are we invested in heaven? Is that where our life, what our life is all about? Invested in heaven. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. How much do we think about heaven? How much do we think about going to heaven and being there and, you know, the people that are there that we love? We talked about it this morning, that great cloud of witnesses. But how often do we think about going and especially looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher? I imagine that many of us ready to go right now. If the Lord came back right now, it wouldn't break our hearts at all. We're ready to go. And if you're not, you better get ready. Get ready. Because He could come today. An eternal focus, not a temporary mindset, invested in eternity. Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Y'all remember watching Barney Fife as he put that thing on and hung up in the closet trying to be tall enough to be in the civil service? But he was only trying to gain like an inch. Jesus said, how many of you can be 18 inches taller just by wanting to be? You can't. How many of you have control over how tall you are? No control. Some of us might be taller if we had a choice. Some might be shorter if they had a choice. We don't have any control over it. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand. Guys, there's some things in life we can't control. There's some things about me I can't control. Here we are trying to control the world and we can't even control ourselves. There's some things beyond our control, beyond our ability. And we need to know that. We need to accept that because worry solves nothing. Now, there's a difference between worry and strategic planning, right? Or deliberation. I'm not worrying, I'm deliberating. Okay. But being mentally and emotionally held hostage by things we can't change is worry. We cannot affect the outcome. It's worry. It's not productive. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, whatsoever things are lovely, true, honest, just, pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if it hath any virtue, if it hath any praise, think on these things. So when we get to worrying about things that we can't fix, we can't solve, and so worry has no bearing on it, what do? Change our focus. Think about good things. Think about positive things. Instead of thinking that the world's crumbled down around us, think about how great life is. You say, well, Pastor, but my life is crumbling down around me. Yeah, but you still, even when life is falling apart here, we still have it better than a lot of people, don't we? So much better. So think about something. We said, count your blessings, name them one by one, start numbering them. We're so blessed. God's been so good to us, even to the extent that we have the ability to be good to other people. Jesus says we need to think about eternity. We need to live right now. We need to be grateful. We need to count our blessings. Stop worrying about things we can't fix. We can't solve. Finally, in verse 33, that's the favorite word in the Baptist sermon right there, isn't it? Finally. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we'll serve God, we'll have everything we need. And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, take no worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You're so focused on those things, temporary things. By the way, if you eat today, you'll be wanting to eat again tomorrow. I know you will. Probably before tomorrow. And what you wear, you're so worried about what you're wearing. Is it going to be just perfect? Doesn't matter. Think about things that matter. Focus on things that matter. Spend time and effort on things that matter. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, and we're finished. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've got enough to do today without worrying about tomorrow. If we would stay busy serving God, there's enough to do today that we don't have time to waste worrying about tomorrow. Yes, I said strategic planning, nothing wrong with that. But when it takes us hostage in our emotions, in our mind, and all we can do is worry about that, we're in trouble. Got to get our mind shifted to something good and positive and wonderful and godly. Let's stand. We talk about eternity and talk about investing in heaven and eternity. But the most important thing right now is to know that we're going to be with Jesus. And that means that you need to make sure that relationship is settled. You could pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins and rose the third day to give me victory. And so I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. Would you put your trust in God today? We can't go back and fix yesterday. We can't live tomorrow today. We've got to live today. Let's get busy for God. Let's get busy thinking about eternity. Stop worrying about things that don't matter. Stop wasting energy on things that won't last. God has a plan. He has a plan for you. But we need to get close enough to figure out what that is. This is your opportunity. Would you come? The altar's open. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. You can pray where you are. And God can change your life right now. This is your opportunity. Would you come? Are you ready to live for God? We're making decisions. Are we making the right decisions? Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Is there anything before we're dismissed? All right. So good to see you all today. So glad you're doing well, Amy. Keep praying for Amy. All right. Those of you who don't recognize them, this is Polly's children, Sister Polly's children. All right. All right. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. Don't forget, be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. We all need it. Let's go to the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie, would you dismiss us, please?